it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
That ball's drilled high and deep to left field. Yiner Diaz gives the Astros a 3-2 lead in the ninth.
Ooh, I like it when that bartender's up late. Little Yiner bomb to finish things off.
Called third strike. He comes back and gets the save tonight. Brian Abreu coming off a big workload on Tuesday night. Saves the game on a Wednesday, and the Astros get a much-needed win with Yiner Diaz hitting the home run in the ninth. And Abreu picking up a big save.
Yeah, huge win in retrospect because the Mariners and Rangers both won. Man, this is a race. This is a race we've got going on. That was a huge win last night. Yiner with the home run in the top of the ninth after the lead was blown in the bottom of the eighth by the bullpen again. And Brian Abreu comes in, man. It's a hot topic on my Twitter timeline because of what I was espousing yesterday and last night.
Oh, yeah, a whole lot of told-you-sos.
The third strike there that we heard. A lot of people like, oh, Sean, you're just stupid.
dumb.
I put my schnutz out there before the ninth inning, not after the ninth inning, like you cowards out there. How you doing this morning, my man?
I'm good. I did like Callis is accurate in saying after a big workload the previous night. It's not like he had a heroic, went three innings or something the night before.
30
like,
yeah, pitches.
He had a self-inflicted big workload the night before, and yet he came in and he made up for it.
He did.
Versus a very good baseball team in the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, people are acting like I tweeted last night before the ninth inning. Let me be clear. I tweeted last night after Abreu blew the lead. Again, he had his third outing where he gave up multiple runs in his last four outings before last night. He had given up at least a couple of earned runs in three of his last four outings. He'd been abjectly terrible for the last week and a half. And I said, man, you might want to think about, and I wasn't the only one, you might want to think about moving Abreu back to the eighth inning and maybe letting somebody else try the ninth. I threw Kimbrell's name out there because, A, he's pitched the ninth inning his whole career pretty much, and, B, he's been, at least by ERA, he's been really good since he became an Astro. I had a lot of people throwing his expected ERA in my face last night after I said, before the ninth inning, I said, I don't know if I'd do Abreu here. I'd go Kimbrell here. And people thought I was the dumbest person in the world after Abreu gets the save. And to be clear, I was rooting for Brian Abreu to get the save. We'll hear from Joe Espada here in just a second on this. I was rooting for Brian Abreu to get the save. I'm an Astros fan. But come at me before the ninth inning, bro. Don't come at me after Brian Abreu gets the save.
I think the thing about Abreu is that a lot of people yesterday before the game were pointing out, hey, that was just his first blown save as a starter or as a closer. Let's not act like he's been a mess. Like, no, after two nights ago, he had a 8+ ERA in the ninth inning. It wasn't good. It was like saying, hey, that house has had a shaky foundation for a while, but this is the first time it's completely collapsed.
Yeah.
What are you even worried about?
But
I'm willing to think, look, obviously there's a psychological adjustment to being a closer, and that if it takes him some time to really get comfortable there, there might be another hiccup or two along the way, but if he can overcome that psychological hurdle, he's your best option as a closer.
Those people are being lazy, Seth, and here's why. That might have been the first outing he had labeled a blown save, but I believe the first one where he came in and he pooped the bed, it was tied, so it wasn't a save situation. The other one was he came in up 8-4, I think it was against the Yankees, and it was a very comfortable four-run lead until he made it a very uncomfortable one-run lead by giving up a three-run homer, I think, to Cody Bellinger in that game. So just because it's labeled a blown save doesn't make the other outings, doesn't justify giving up three earned runs in two other outings. Like, he's been bad.
saves are the dumbest stat. One of the dumbest stats. Kind of like pitcher wins are largely a
pitcher wins are
stat
way dumber. Pitcher wins are way dumber.
Saves are still kind of dumb in that it just feels anytime there's a stat that you always have to explain it before or afterwards. Kind of like plus minus in basketball. Or like, well, you know, you can use them when they serve you. But regardless, it was a good performance by Bray last night without having to relitigate everything. And you know, Sean, you've been very open and transparent. I think with your emotional connection to Abreu is a lot like Abreu himself.
Yep.
It's a little
very
bit unstable.
Yes.
Yeah. You there's a lot of things you like about him, but you're just not always sure that you can depend on him.
I think you framed it perfectly. Here was Joe Espada. So let's just lay it out. Yiner Diaz hits the home run in the top of the ninth. My theory on that, Seth, is there was nobody on base, so naturally somebody was going to get a big hit. If there were runners on second and third, Yiner would have grounded out to second base, but there was nobody on base. The Astros are great when there's nobody on base. So he hits a solo home run. Astros win 3-2. Boy, you got a great outing from Jason Alexander. We'll hear from Espada about that in headlines. I think Abreu getting this save is the bigger story just because of how bad he's been, and Josh Hader is not going to be available for the rest of the regular season. Here was Joe Espada on the decision to bring back Brian Abreu last night after he threw 30 pitches the night before.
If he wasn't able to go today, I would not have used him. But he felt good. I was only going to use him on a save opportunity, which it was. When Yiner Diaz hit that home run, I felt really good.
Okay. So Joe, and he said that he had a talk with Abreu before the game, tell him he still felt confident in him.
How much I trust him. People, you know, we have had really good closers here. Haters, Presley. And he's the one that always goes unnoticed. But to get to those guys, you need a very strong foundation, bridge. And Abreu has been that guy. When the game is on the line, I want him on the mound. I'm always counting the outs when it's Abreu time. That's how much I trust him. And I was just telling him, and I want him to hear from me, you know, face to face. I told him before, but after last night, I really want him to reinforce that again, that he is the man when the game is on the line.
You know, I think if I were running a Major League Baseball team, which, you know, it's still in the cards. I've still got some life left in me.
I would be a season ticket holder for that team, for sure.
This is what I think I would insist upon. I think I would insist on all of my Spanish, my Latin American players, that they not learn English. Like, I specifically want you to be in as much of a silo as possible. Because, that interaction between Espada and Abreu, where, you know, he can say, hey, we trust you, we believe in you, it's not likely clouded by nearly as much. Like, the guys aren't, even if they speak English, but they're not great English speakers or whatever, they just don't have to hear all of the chatter.
Yeah,
you know, the volume of chatter and outside noise is less likely to penetrate their psyche. So you can just say, hey, this is all that matters right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be hearing it from their cousin in Topeka or whatever. That Espada's trust and faith is all that matters in that moment.
You would have an entire team of people that don't speak English is what you would have.
Yes, that's what I would. Well, yeah. I wouldn't actually go out specifically and try to do that. But I would use it to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Bregman. Bregman at times. I don't need Bregman when he's slumping to be, you know, engaging with people in his DMs and everything on social media.
Bregman wants all the smoke. He went out and learned Spanish once he got into the big leagues. He's like,
I don't have enough smoke. I need to seek out Latin American
I'm gonna learn
smoke.
French. I'm going to learn German. I'm going to get smoke from the entire globe. Yes.
He's on some Venezuelan website seeking out the haters to try to shut him down. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's it's a little too much for the modern athlete sometimes.
How about Jason Alexander, man? How about Jason Alexander has become one of the most valuable Astros since the beginning of August?
Is he an English speaker?
I believe he speaks English, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he speaks
Spanish.
I don't
even try to learn these guys anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even try to know anything about him. Like, his name's Jason Alexander, but for all I know, he's from Colombia. Whatever. Roll him in there. He's the latest Astros pitcher that's going to get the best version of himself because of this analytics and coaching staff.
Yeah. And then get an inflamed elbow. That's why I was wondering, if you don't want to establish an emotional attachment because you know how the story ends for all these guys.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean, henceforth, you and I will be doing this show in Gaelic and nothing different.
Okay.
You and I are going to go take an intensive Gaelic class.
And we're not going to refer to any of the pitchers by name. They're just, they're a number is all they are. Brandon Walter.
Yeah, I want to be ethnically and culturally blind on all of this, okay? I can feel all of my unconscious biases seeping in. I know I'm a cracker-ass bigot. I want to...
6:09 a.m. Cracker ass bigot came out. There we go.
CAB radio.
CAB. No, just the news yesterday with the Astros was like, I think you've said that we're kind of desensitized to it now. Like Brandon Walter and this Rooney guy that they called up at some point.
Rooney.
They both had elbow surgery yesterday.
He's my favorite Ecuadorian.
They both. I don't know if they had elbow surgery or it was announced they were getting elbow surgery. Spencer Arrighetti, this kind of flew under the radar, seeking a second opinion.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
I don't like that.
I always love the second opinion.
I don't like
the
that at all.
Second opinion is always awesome. Yeah. How often do we hear a second opinion that comes back like, in actuality, things are just fine. Yeah.
Ort and Sousa, they're on the IL. Wisniewski and Blanco both out. I was kind of taking the tally yesterday, just the carnage in the pitching staff this year. It's unbelievable. It is. It feels like every year over the last 3 years, we've come into spring training saying, well, the injury luck in the pitching staff can't be any worse than it was the year before. They just have to have better luck. And this, I've never seen anything like this. There's a guy every 5 days that gets elbow inflammation. It's unbelievable.
It's freaking nuts, man.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It's really hard for me. I mean, the hardest thing to accept sometimes in life, not just sports, is that sometimes things are just random dumb luck. Going into this season, the Astros didn't necessarily have a boatload more UCL injuries than other organizations, but they've been hit hard in the last 18 months or so, and I just hope that it's somehow weirdly dumb luck. It's just so strange that the organization that's known for just doing so many things better than other organizations with their pitchers is getting hit with just this bad stretch of hopefully just really, really bad luck.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. We're getting you ready for the Texans and the Buccaneers on Monday. Monday Night Football coming to Houston. First time since 2018, a Monday Night home game. I think the last time we had a Monday Night home game was either the Dallas game or it might have been the Bob McNair night, the night where Lamar Miller had that 97-yard home run and Vandy gave us, that was for you, Bob. I think.
And Sean, the last time the Bucs beat the Texans was at home back in 2003.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Many of our listeners, they weren't even a sperm or an ovum at that point.
Neither.
You
were.
You were
on the team. You were
not even a twinkle. Yeah, I was on IR, so I take no. I bear no blame. I take no.
Well, my fault.
Yo no responsabilio.
That's it.
That's
it. All right, we'll get you updated on the Texans injury situation at one particular very important position in the next segment. We'll do headlines a little later on in the show as well.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.